Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Looking to identify and find two shooters after a mass shooting last night at a party in Mountain View, North Carolina. Sheriff Donald Brown at a news conference.
It is times like this that partnerships and relationships with our community and our law enforcement is so important.
12 people were wounded. One of them's dead. A blow to the Russian military costing it billions. Ukrainian drones attacked 4 Russian military airfields, damaging or destroying about 40 planes. That from videos ABC News has verified. Bone-crushing U.S. sanctions on Russia are coming soon, says Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina Republican. After the Gaza Health Ministry said Israeli troops opened fire on people at a food distribution center in Rafah, with video showing bloody, dead, and wounded people arriving in a hospital, and UN agency people there saying the same thing, Israeli military officials say Israeli troops acted against several suspects. This is ABC News. Honoring the lives of 9/11 first responders, thousands of runners took part today in the annual Tunnel to Towers climb at One World Trade Center in New York. Runners included Chris Burke.
It's just a great chance to honor the memory of the heroism and sacrifice of 9/11, especially my brother, Captain Billy Burke of Engine 21. He got all his guys out of the tower on 9/11.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation says runners scale the 104 stories of One World Trade Center to raise money for injured veterans and first responders. After generations of glamorizing tobacco through its movie stars, France is preparing for its most sweeping smoking ban yet. July 1st, smoking outlawed in virtually all outdoor public areas where children may gather, including beaches, parks, gardens, playgrounds, sports venues, school entrances, and bus stops. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Michael Negron of the Small Business Majority.
You know, Trump administration thinks that they're doing a solid for small business with their policies. And so having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. Every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback and he retreats in the face of it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tome Olson. The House budget bill would reform environmental permitting in Wisconsin and nationwide, potentially streamlining the process and reducing litigation. Here's Brent Pivido.
Under the National Environmental Policy Act, or NEPA, large projects with the potential to affect the environment must complete environmental assessments or impact statements. This includes all federal agencies and impacts private development projects that need federal permits. The new provision would create an expedited review process for a fee of 25% on top of the usual cost of a NEPA review. Thomas Hockman with the Foundation for American Innovation says the new rule would also shield projects from NEPA-related litigation.
There are quotes from folks like outgoing EPA General Counsel, who say 90% of the details in a NEPA review are purely there for litigation proofing the document. You can imagine if you only need 10% of the details in that environmental impact statement because you know that you are not at risk of litigation, that is almost certainly a radically faster timeline.
In court, federal agencies have an 80% success rate on appeal, and their environmental reviews are not often changed through litigation. One study of NEPA reviews shows solar energy projects face the highest litigation rate. Frequent litigation was also seen with pipelines, transmission lines, turbines and wind energy projects. Despite shortening the process, Hockman says the reforms may also make projects subject to shifting political agendas.
If you let each administration determine what the cost is and also spend time determining what the cost should be, you could potentially see differences in treatment. So, you know, maybe a Republican administration drags their feet and puts out a really high cost for a wind project that's going through an environmental impact statement. Maybe a Democratic administration does the same for a pipeline that's going through an environmental impact statement.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Brett Pivato. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 59. For Monday, partly sunny, breezy, a high near 88. Showers and thunderstorms Monday night with a low around 65. Tuesday, showers and storms, a high near 70. Wednesday, sunshine with highs in the mid-70s.
Currently, 78 degrees.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome back comedian singer Rob Paravonian and Milwaukee-based actor Rob Martin and I talk about our favorite movie gangsters. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
From the rolling bluffs of the Driftless region to the pristine shorelines of Superior in Michigan, from the Northwoods to the Kettle Moraine, Civic Media broadcasts across all of Wisconsin. For all of Wisconsin. Take a trip with us across the radio network to hear from communities throughout the state. This is the Civic Media Spotlight.
Welcome in to Hour 2 of the Civic Media Spotlight. This week on Matinair On Air, Jane and Greg welcomed on State Assembly Representative Renuka Mayadev. She's the lead author for a bill in Madison that would fund childcare here in Wisconsin, which is both in crisis and also a top priority for the Joint Finance Committee.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair On Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine, where you can always join us. Call or text, the number is the same, no matter where you're listening across the state, around the country, 855-752-4842, or leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Childcare, a big, big issue here in Wisconsin, all around the country, but the Joint Finance Committee in Wisconsin held four meetings across the state over the last couple of weeks. The top three things that constituents, I don't know, the people that legislators work for, brought up were health care, child care,
and education.
And education.
Yeah.
That was right out of my head. We are delighted to be joined by Representative Renuka Mayadev. She is an assemblyman from District 77. Good morning, Representative. Thank you so much for joining us from our world headquarters in Madison.
We can't hear you.
Which is odd because we did a sound check and...
Okay.
There we go.
All right, great.
We
did it.
Good morning.
Welcome, Representative. Thank you so much for joining us. We did obviously mention that the Joint Finance Committee held all these hearings and then essentially went back and stripped out everything that people they had heard from wanted in the next budget here in Wisconsin. So the Democrats have come up with their own package to try and address the child care crisis. Before we get to that, Representative, I want to talk a little bit, first of all, about your decision to run for office. What was it that got you into politics? Because this is your first role as a representative.
Yes. This is the first time I've held an elected seat. So, you know, I'm a mother. I'm a daughter of immigrants. I've worked for women, children, and families all of my career. I had the great honor of working for Marion Wright Edelman, who was the founder and the civil rights leader who worked with Dr. King. She founded the Children's Defense Fund. So I worked for her for many years running the state office in Ohio. And, you know, she told me, when you see injustice, you got to stand up. And so right now, We're seeing it in our state and across the country. There's a lot of things that are happening. They're unjust, unlawful, unconstitutional. And so I had to stand up and fight for women, children, and families.
Was it daunting for you to decide to run? Because I think there are people listening, men and women, who are thinking, gosh, I would really like to do something, but I just don't think I can. What would you say to folks who feel like that?
Yeah, I mean, it is daunting, right? You have to raise money. You have to make connections. You have to get your name out there. I would say to folks that are interested, you know, start local. I think start with advocacy. Like I said, I worked as an advocate. And then I also worked in politics for the former governor of Ohio, the last Democrat as of now. Hopefully Ohio will have another Democratic governor. But I worked for Governor Ted Strickland of Ohio. So I started to get my feet well in politics. And I think folks can do that. They can do it at the local level. They can do it at the state level or the federal level. So, and there's so much advocacy, especially now, Jane. I mean, there's just so many things that we need folks to stand up and say, this is not right. This is not American.
And I think it's important that you pointed out that you can start small. It's not like everybody who jumps in, I'm going to run for senator. That's not necessarily the normal track that people follow when they get into politics.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And you learn so much along the way. I mean, I have to tell you, my work, and I'm also a lawyer. So as I've worked in these fields of policy, advocacy, in politics, I've learned so much that helps me do my job today. And I think it's invaluable, especially at this time now where we know understanding the law and understanding our norms and what we need to protect them is so important.
When you were campaigning last year and knocking on doors, it was something we always like to ask elected officials who, you know, have to go through that campaign process, what can be grueling, but you're knocking on doors, you're going to events, you're talking to people, and you're not just talking to Democrats, you're talking to Republicans, you're talking to everybody. And I always want to know, what are the things that actually, as Wisconsinites, as a group, concern us, regardless of who you vote for? You know, we mentioned childcare, we mentioned healthcare and education, but are there other things that you heard from your now constituents who said, these are the things that really are on our, these are our kitchen table items for the economy, those kinds of things you heard?
Yeah, I mean, this one, I had people crying at their doorstep. Oh. I more than my two hands can count over the months that I knocked on doors. And it was around abortion. It was around access to abortion. I had mothers and fathers say, this is critically important. And the fact that we still have that 1849 law on our books is appalling. It's alarming. And that's one of the top things that we're going to get rid of when we're in the majority. But it was really emotional. I had actually a devout Catholic, an older woman, come out of her door. I can remember the home clear as day. And she said, if I hadn't had, after I gave birth to my fourth child, and she knew she had five children, the DNC after I gave birth, after I had a miscarriage, before I had my other child, I wouldn't be here today.
She would have died.
She would have died. She would have died. And then her kids that she had already would have been without a mother.
Yep. And tragically, this has happened in some cases around the country, especially in states like Texas, where there are very few, if any, exceptions for the life of the mother. And I always go back to the fact that there is still nothing codified about how close to dead a woman has to be before she can get treatment. And that is one of the most disturbing things to me. Mm-hmm. It's just like, yeah, well, you think she's going to, you know, there is no, here is the point where we will give this woman the care that she needs.
It's alarming.
I mean,
it's shameful. And that's one of the reasons I ran. I mean, I worked at the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. That was my last job before I ran for assembly. And I worked on maternal child health issues. And I saw how important having the full complement of tools are to an OB or OBGYN, and that they're scared to practice in this state because they never know if that toolbox is going to be ripped away from them. So they'll go to another state because there's other states that have the full tool set available. They can do their job. They can take care of patients. and they can feel good about the work they're doing and without being worried about getting sued or a threat of a lawsuit or their license being taken away. It's just, it's shameful.
If you're just joining us, Representative Renuka Mayadev is our guest. She represents Madison's 77th Assembly District. And I do think it's important to point out as well that at the recent Republican convention in Wisconsin, they did as a body vote in favor of that 1849 abortion ban here in Wisconsin. They're not letting that go. No. They're still very much supportive of that. I just think it's important that people realize that.
And I think something that you just said was important as far as your interaction with that woman, the devout Catholic, is that, one, this is a far more nuanced discussion than certain politicians will allow it to take place. And two, absolutely, a majority, I don't want to say numbers, but I think we see in the polls that more Americans, more Wisconsinites are in favor of access to this health care than people who are just saying, no, 1849 is a wonderful year to go back to. So it almost seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, they're not even listening to the people they represent.
Yeah. They're not. This is something the majority of Wisconsinites want to have the availability and access to. And they're just running their agenda and not listening to the constituents, not listening to the people. And this is men and women. This is every race, every religion, every socioeconomic status in our state. This is not one singular profile that you can point to that's against this. So.
Well, and I always find it interesting that the Republicans like to present themselves as pro-family and pro-child, and we want you to have babies, but yet it almost seems like once the child is born, then you're on your own. Then we're not going to give you any help, especially, again, this brings us back to child care. So there were special funding under the Biden administration that helped child care kept child care going in Wisconsin during the pandemic. That money is about to run out.
Yeah, that's right. So there were federal funds that were available that kept our providers' doors open, the lights on, so that folks could make sure that those slots were there, especially for those families that were working in jobs where they couldn't stay home during the pandemic. They had to go to work. They were our essential workers. And so now that funding's running out, and it's very important that we make sure that providers can keep their lights on, their doors open, and so that we as Democrats introduced this bill, the Child Care Counts bill, last week. We need to get it done. They took it out of the budget, and we need to make sure that this singular bill passes.
What is within this bill, Representative? Where will this money come? How are we going to fund our child care centers?
Yeah, so $440 million of it is GPR, so state funding, and then the another $40 million is federal funds. So TANF funds that come to us that we should be using and can use to support providers.
Because if I understand correctly, the money for this runs out at the end of June.
That's right, June 30.
When this money runs out, and if we cannot get anything passed in Wisconsin, we are looking at a massive amount of closures of childcare centers in Wisconsin, right?
That's exactly right, Jane. So 25% have already said they have to close their doors.
25%.
Yeah. Yep. 1/4. And in some areas that might be higher, right? So that's, you know, an average. So, and about 60% have been really clear that they're going to have to raise their tuition costs. And families are already stretched thin.
Yep.
This is not something that is easy for families. Majority of them, I would almost say all of them. I mean, the costs for childcare are enormous. And so that's going to be untenable.
And I think it's important also because you're right. Child care is very, very expensive, but it's not because child care providers are all driving Mercedes. That's not the case. They're very low. The pay to work in child care is very low. It's the insurance costs.
Yeah. I mean, you've seen the wages. I mean, the wages, the median wage for staff in child care settings is between $7 and $13 an hour. That's the median wage. I mean, there is no other work that's so important, that's such high value work paid at such low wages.
I think it was Corrine Hendrickson who was either on our show or Pat's show who's saying one of the things they're working towards is just being able to get enough funding so they can start the base pay at $13, which it's great. That's great. But it's also like they should be making more.
Well, yes. Again, we attach so much importance to children and taking care of our children and all of these things. But when it comes to pay for it, it's like, yes, well, maybe they're not that important.
Ask grandma and grandpa. They can come out of retirement.
Or just quit your job and stay home.
Ladies.
It's ludicrous. I mean, are they not? May they not be living in the same world we're living in, where most households have two people working, or if you're a single household, one person's working, one, two, three jobs, right, to make the household budget work. And so this is not something that's in reality.
We're going to continue our conversation with Representative Renuka Mayadev. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Matt and Air on Air is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on select Civic Media stations weekday mornings from 9 to 11. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Next up on the Civic Media Spotlight, we go to the John and Gordy Show down in Madison. It was a bittersweet week for John and Gordy as they bid farewell to their longtime producer, Sam, who is leaving the show to pursue a career in teaching. Here now is Sam's last moments on the show.
WMDX 92.7. It's John and Gordy in the morning. And every once in a while, we mention our producer, Sam. You know, he throws his two cents in from time to time. You know, he's just kind of hanging out. He's not really participating in the program Rock. Much, usually.
Just the
kidding,
lights.
Of
they
course.
They don't pay me enough for that.
No, they're very, very last day that Sam is producing the show here, and we don't know what's going to happen, you know. I think
you know what?
It's going to be...
It's going to be a sad day.
It's going to be an empty spot Because you have added so much to this program, and it was just a coincidence. We're all thrown together. Yeah. And you looked at us like, I'm going to take care of these two senior citizens? Are you kidding me?
Well, I remember the first time I met you, I really didn't know what to make of you. Like, I asked you that you wanted the show to be political, and I had no idea what that meant.
Could have meant a lot of things.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Whatever you said was filled with euphemisms, and I really could not tell what you were trying to tell me.
Yeah. Yeah,
boy.
Yeah, Sam, it's been a great ride.
Yeah, it really has.
You got a few texts, you know.
Yeah, we did. We got a couple here.
Did you already tell them about Mark from Prairie to Sac saying, from this radio show, Sam is leaving. We will miss your skills on the radio dial and for taking your talents to the high school room and enlightening our youth for a while, which is what he's doing next.
Yeah, and another one that says, good luck, Sam. Really going to miss you. How well you fit into the morning crew, the voice of reason that kept the elders in line. I love being called an elder.
You are.
Yeah.
You're both old enough to be my grandparents.
Yeah, thanks again. Goodbye. If you know what I mean, it's wishing you all the best moving forward as a teacher.
Middleton.
And it was always like having one of my kids in here because my sons are, 26 and 23. So,
You're 23, right?
I'm 24.
24 already. Okay. Yeah.
Now, I was at home last night thinking, what music could I select to say goodbye to Sam? And what comes to mind? I thought about your career, your side career as a movie projectionist. Yes. You're really into the movies here. So I put together this little montage. So this is a goodbye to Sam. Go ahead.
Hello, Sam. Play it once, Sam. For all time's sake, play it, Sam.
He hasn't played it in a long time.
You must remember this. A kiss is just a kiss. A sigh is just a sigh.
Actually, let's hear something else here. Hang on.
The fundamental things apply.
How about this?
As time goes by.
Here we go.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more.
Yeah.
A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for.
There you go.
Better not try to stand in my way as I'm walking
out the door. This is a classic. Radio guys used to play this all the time on their last day on the air.
When they knew it was their last day?
Yes.
Yeah.
And it was very rare that we knew, but yes.
Oh, that's
now,
great.
Now, we only have a couple of minutes left, but we got a couple of things, so we better get through this. We got about three minutes.
Got your backpack. You said you had all you needed, but I think this backpack really says
I'm going back to school. That's
Corey
right.
Corey found this, but you've been our hero all this last year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
So we put a few things in here. I know you don't need a whole lot.
Goodbye presents.
We're going back
presents.
To school. You're going to need some big old pencils.
Oh, wow.
The big
Ticonderoga
really
number twos. Yeah.
A little something to do while the kids are, studying and doing what they need
like
to do.
A little tabletop.
Pinball game.
We have teacher, vinyl stickers that you can put on your books.
Oh, this is great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
We've got some special erasers. We figured the donuts would probably do for you. The donut erasers.
Right.
Yes.
Nice.
What, 30 seconds?
No, three. We got 3 minutes.
Okay, I'm not going so fast. All right. Okay, so I'm slowing down. This is a pencil sharpener, of course, in the shape of fries. We like fries.
They're cool.
Yeah, that's very nice.
And, of course, a very special pen that's only for you.
It's got a spaceship on it.
And it does that.
Whoa! The spaceship just blew up.
That's
oh,
that.
My goodness.
Yeah. I drank too much coffee today. I'm shaking.
Okay.
A red pen for correcting, of course.
Oh, I'm going to put that to good use.
Put that to good use. Now we go in the big pocket.
Yeah, there's some other things in there.
I just want to mention here, it's a Spider-Man backpack.
Yes.
All right,
it's good.
Very gorgeous.
Cool.
It has hero on it, because it is, right? Of course.
The Marvel
now, you're
thing
teaching history, right?
That's right.
History.
Yeah.
So you need to know the history of Taylor Swift.
Oh, that's good.
No.
So you're trying to turn me just to make
sense. So the kids think
a little golden book about Taylor Swift?
Yes, yes.
Really?
Like
is there?
That. Yeah,
yes.
Golden
book.
Oh, my God.
Exactly
to the camera
right.
Oh,
that's
man.
Great.
It is. And, of course, the history of Barbie, which is very important.
Oh, wonderful. Yeah.
Smallest, pinkest viewfinder we could find.
Yeah.
You
need to relate to the kids.
Right to the kids.
Yeah.
Yep. And, of course, when all goes to hell in a handbasket, Tylenol. We need Tylenol.
Come on in, Megan.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And
it's got a card for me here.
Not one, but two balls.
Yeah. John and Gordy stress balls.
Those are going to be getting a good squeeze.
They'll be getting a good squeeze. Yeah.
So you got your balls back.
Yep. Should I open this card here?
We'll do that. Yeah, do that now. Go ahead, do that. That's all a card. Right. That's from everybody at the station. You know, we all had to. Oh, yeah, that's the big part.
We're at 1 minute.
All right.
About a minute and change.
Is a gift card for Dick's.
There you go.
So you got the balls and you got the Dick's.
All right.
And, sorry.
What?
I didn't see
there's something more in there.
One last item because they're wearing it.
Brand new.
The brand new John and Gordy
t-shirt.
Boom!
Yeah.
Now available in your Civic Media store.
Nice.
Oh, that's gorgeous, yeah.
We got a minute here, Sam.
I do like the t-shirts.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. This is wonderful. Oh,
well,
man.
You deserve all that and more, and we appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's
good luck to you.
A wonderful time.
Come back and visit us.
Okay? Seriously.
Of course.
Now you're going to make me cry.
Come back and...
your cough one more time. Okay. All right. Good.
I've never seen that live.
What? Absolutely classic. Yes.
Yeah. Never doing that again.
All right.
And we give you permission to co-host on Todd Elbaugh's show every once in a while.
Thank you. Thank you for your permission.
You can also do that here if you'd
Robert
like.
Robert Barron.
Good luck to you always, Sam.
Thank you.
You meant a whole heck of a lot to this show. You really
did. Sam Davison, everybody. Yeah. We'll talk to you on Monday. Have a great day. So long. Stephanie Miller's next.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
The John and Gordy Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs on WMDX weekday mornings from 6 until 8. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Looking to identify and find two shooters after a mass shooting last night at a party in Mountain View, North Carolina. Sheriff Donald Brown at a news conference.
It is times like this that partnerships and relationships with our community and our law enforcement is so important.
12 people were wounded. One of them's dead. A blow to the Russian military costing it billions. Ukrainian drones attacked 4 Russian military airfields, damaging or destroying about 40 planes. That from videos ABC News has verified. Bone-crushing U.S. sanctions on Russia are coming soon, says Senator Lindsey Graham, South Carolina Republican. After the Gaza Health Ministry said Israeli troops opened fire on people at a food distribution center in Rafah, with video showing bloody, dead, and wounded people arriving in a hospital, and UN agency people there saying the same thing, Israeli military officials say Israeli troops acted against several suspects. This is ABC News.
The Brewers sweep the Phillies. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. 10 days ago, when you saw the Brewers would be playing the Phillies in Philadelphia, you wondered if they could get one win during that series. Today, they swept the Phillies. The final score 5-2. Milwaukee down 2-1 in the game. Coming back in the seventh, they win all 3 games in Philadelphia. The Brewers have now won 7 in a row. The Phillies now in a 4-game losing streak. Their fans booing them after the game today at Citizens Bank Park. Pat Murphy.
Phillies fans are great. You know what I mean? And they're awesome. Anybody would love playing in front of these fans. You know what I mean? Because they're so passionate.
So the Brewers road trip continues. They head to Cincinnati to open up a series against the Reds tomorrow night. NFL, Packers resume their OTAs, organized team activity practices, this week in Green Bay. In golf, the final round today of the Women's U.S. Open in Erin Hills, just outside of Hartford, Wisconsin, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Hey ho, jazz fans. It's summer, and there's nothing better than outdoor jazz in the summertime in Wisconsin. So if you're in the Madison area, check out the Madison Jazz Festival from June 5th through the 15th. This year's attractions include Emma Dayhuff, the Edwin Doherty Five-Tet, the Emmy Castro Peruvian Jazz Quintet, the Sweet Tooth Jazz Band, and check out Jazz Sunday at the UW-Madison Memorial Union. Aw, yeah. And if you're up in northeast Wisconsin, check out Sundrop Days. Shauna was known for its delicious Sundrop manufacturing and distribution center. The annual festival is held the first week of June every year and kicks off this coming Friday. There's stuff for kids, crafts, live music, and of course, some dynamite soda. That's right, folks. Finally, there is a festival centered around a delicious soft drink, especially the real sugar version in a glass bottle, baby. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low around 59. For Monday, partly sunny, breezy, a high near 88. Showers and thunderstorms Monday night with a low around 65. Tuesday, showers and storms, a high near 70. Wednesday, sunshine with highs in the mid-70s.
It's 79 degrees right now.
Matt Nair on air.
Congressman Mark Pocan is here. Are you planning on going out on the road again, having a couple more town halls?
Yes. No, Claire, Derek and I have been invited by Opportunity Wisconsin, so I'm really looking forward to debating Derek. My guess is it's more likely I will sprout a head full of hair than he will show up. This is important to let people know what's in this bill, because there is a very good reason why Republicans are hiding from town halls.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Matt Miller, Milwaukee-based film critic. The film Sinners, the more distance I have from it, the more I liked it. Is that an Oscar film?
I think there is a love for what Sinners is doing, that a studio movie was this interesting and creative and thoughtful, but also entertaining. This is not the last you will hear about Sinners this year. I'd be shocked if it doesn't get a Best Picture nomination.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll check in with State Senator Calda Royce from the Joint Finance Committee on the state budget and also news headlines with folks at Wisconsin Watch. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
We return you now to the Civic Media Spotlight. This last half hour of the Spotlight, we'll hear two segments from the Maggie Dawn Show. Maggie's guest this week was Michael Negron, former economic advisor to the president. He's on to discuss how the turbulent situation with Trump's tariffs are affecting small businesses in Wisconsin. This is a two-part interview. Stay tuned for the last segment of the Spotlight for more of Maggie's conversation.
That is what our framers intended, and I don't care if it's your team winning today, it won't always be that way. So what in the heck are they doing?
Now, the Maggie Dawn Show continues.
Are you kidding me?
From Congress and courts to burgers and baseball.
I think that speaks to Wisconsinites in a really special way that I've been to 15 baseball stadiums. It ain't the same in other places.
Once again, here's lawyer and economist Maggie Dawn.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy hump day. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I won't stop talking about it. I just won't. Until we all know actually what is going on in this country. My next guest will help us understand that better from the vantage point of small businesses. His name is Michael Negron. He's the former special assistant to the president for economic policy. While at the White House, he sat on Joe Biden's National Economic Council, and he recently joined the board of directors of the Small Business Majority, a national small business organization that empowers America's diverse entrepreneurs to build a thriving and equitable economy. Michael, thank you so much for making time. As an economist and as a data dork, I always love it when other people, and I say those things with a lot of love and respect, join me to talk about these things here on the show, because some, you know, wonks start talking and it's like the Peanuts character, right? So we got to make it understandable for folks.
Yes, yes, we do, especially when you're talking about small businesses, which are the bedrock of our economy.
Absolutely. So I wanted to start with some sound, Jacob. We're going to take the Trump sound right away. You know, having observed all of the Trump flippity floppities when it comes to economic policy since January 21st. It made my head hurt. I actually had to get like write my own timeline to keep straight all of the things that were happening. He promised us 90 deals in 90 days. We're not even close to any of that. We're now currently at the highest effective tax rates that we've, excuse me, I should say highest effective tariff tax rates. They're all taxes that we've seen in this country for 80 plus years. Let's take a listen. This was quite the savvy question to the president a few weeks back.
Mr. President, Wall Street analysts have coined a new term called the taco trade. They're saying Trump always chickens out on your tariff threats, and that's why markets are higher this week. What's your response to that?
I kick out.
Chicken out.
Oh, isn't that a chicken out? I've never heard that. You mean because I reduced China from 145% that I set down to 100 and then down to another number? And I said you have to open up your whole country. And because I gave the European Union a 50% tax tariff, and they called up and they said, please, let's meet right now. Please, let's meet right now. And I said, okay, I'll give you till June 9th. I actually asked them, I said, what's the date? Because they weren't willing to meet. And after I did what I did, they said, we'll meet anytime you want. And we have an end date of July 9th. You call that chickening out? Because we have $14 trillion now invested, committed to investing when Biden didn't have practically anything.
We could just talk about the $14 trillion, which is a completely made up number. Half of it refers back to deals that were already done. But I don't want to do that. The head lobbyist, the head of the organization, right, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, went into the Oval Office and said, please, Mr. President, please create exemptions in your tariff policy for small businesses so that they will have certainty. They can actually project out. They can run their books. They know what the SKU codes will mean in terms of the price of goods. They know how to deal with currency exchange prices. And Donald Trump said, go kick rocks. Meanwhile, he continues to cut deals for those who can afford to buy and curry favor, whether we're talking about tariff policies or criminal pardons. Michael, take us through, why is the Trump taco and the Trump tariff terror so devastating for small businesses?
Well, that, you said it exactly right there, that you can't predict what's coming with him. And the taco trade and the memes have been pretty funny very recently. But it gets at the fact that it's coming from Wall Street. And it's saying, when the president talks about tariffs and he unleashes a new threat, the market tanks. But don't worry, he's going to cave and then the market will come back up. And that's great if you're a Wall Street trader. But when he's making these statements and when he's imposing these policies and you're a small business owner and you're having to order your inventory for, depends on your business. If you might be a toy store and you want to be ready for back to school and Christmas. You might be selling clothing or summer furniture and you're getting ready for the summer. You're buying this stuff months in advance. And so if he's putting in, on April 2nd, he announces a set of tariffs. They got up to 145% on China. He also announced that day a set of country by country tariffs, which were in the midst of a 90-day pause, but 46%.
Don't forget the penguins, Michael. Yeah, the penguins.
That's right. Mm-hmm. He taxed some uninhabited other than penguin
islands.
Inhabited islands. And he quickly, folded on those, but they're still looming out there. And it was just 2 weeks ago that his Treasury Secretary was on some of the Sunday shows. And he said, soon we're going to be sending letters to these countries to set their tariffs, their individual country tariffs, if we don't like the way the negotiations are going. And so if you're a business owner and you're trying to predict what your supply chains will look like over the next few months, what are you doing with that information? I mean, even the stand down from the 145%, which he talked about in the segment that you played, even standing down to 30%.
Yeah,
30%. That is tremendously high, tremendously costly. And so not only is he constantly changing, but the dollar amounts of these changes are significant. A few weeks ago, a couple of outlets did this, but the Washington Post is the one that's top of mind. They went through and they counted. And of course, this is before his threats to the EU and before the threat to Apple in particular, but counted the number of times that he had changed tariff policy since taking office, and it was at over 50, and we have to be approaching 60 now. And so if you are someone who's trying to decide whether to make an investment or to hire or to add a location, how are you making decisions right now? And the fact is, we're hearing it from business owners across the country that you're not. A couple of weeks ago, the National Federation of Independent Businesses, they do a monthly small business optimism survey. And unsurprisingly, the last 4 months, business optimism and confidence has declined. But what to me was so striking in the most recent survey for April was that the share of small businesses planning to make capital investments in the next 6 months fell to the lowest level since April of 2020. What was happening in April of 2020? The beginning COVID. Of the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so this is not a great environment to be a small business owner. And exactly as you noted, you had the head of the chamber asking for help for small business, got a flat no. But when you have the CEO of Apple coming in, they got some changes, although now the president threatened to undo those, or at least to do some sort of Apple-specific tariff. The big three automakers got at least some relief on the foreign auto parts. And so if you're a big player, you can get some help. But if you're a little guy, there's no help coming. In fact, likely more instability.
And that instability, if you don't run a small business or you don't know a small business owner, again, it may seem like, oh, well, as long as he brings the levels down, blah, blah, blah. No, the details matter, and it paralyzes. If you're a small business owner, like, oh, my gosh, well, what do I do? Well, I'm going to, it's like freeze, fight, and flight. They're freezing, right? Because the threat is so real, it changes. There's no predictability. It's largely, and you can hear it in the taco clip we played. The thing that's driving all of it is whether or not countries will kiss his butt, which he said at a donor dinner. It wasn't the donor dinner. It was the Kennedy Center for the Arts, their board dinner, said it right out loud. Oh, they're kissing my butt. Isn't this great? Small business business owners are paralyzed with doubt. And I want to get to the question of, is Trump trying to throw them a bone with some of the things in the big brutal bill, which I've heard spun by some in the MAGA regime as being pro-small business? I want to get to that. But I just wanted to lean in, Michael, a little bit on the concept of margins, right? These are these fancy words that people throw around in business. But a margin in a small business is how much cash on hand you have, how much, what I'm just going to say, like, float do you have for big fluctuations or errors in your planning? Will you be able to get over the next, ocean wave crest of problems, right? Back in April of 2020, there was a global pandemic not caused by an American president. Now we have a global economic panic, paralyzation of small business owners that is having ripple effects throughout our economy created by an American president. So if you can just explain to people what's happening, not only can people not plan, it's paralyzing them. And if they can't plan, if they can't look forward in their budgets, they can't hire, they don't know if they can make a capital investment, and price points are moving all over the place, I've been prognosticating you're going to see thousands of small businesses going under because margins are just smaller. There's less room for error. Am I right about that?
I think it is a very tough time for small business right now. As you've said, as you noted, the margins can be quite tight depending on the industry. A small retailer or a restaurant, you're looking at maybe a couple percentage points. And so if the price of some of your inputs, whether it's people may not remember this, but a few months ago they imposed a tariff on Mexican tomatoes. It was specific, right? It was a specific tariff on Mexican tomatoes. And if you look at other types of goods from overseas, other foods and items, that can really eat into your margins if you don't raise prices. And so what will likely happen, and I think the canary in the coal mine here is Walmart.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, Walmart, biggest retailer in the country, I believe also the world, announced that they were going to have to raise prices starting in late May. And this is after broad reporting on the fact that in April, Walmart was starting, and Target, so some of the larger retailers, but Walmart in particular, were pushing their vendors to eat the cost of tariffs because they didn't want to have those passed on to them, and they wanted to keep their prices low, including Walmart reaching out to its China-based vendors, trying to get them to eat the costs. Well, flash forward to the present, it sounds like they didn't get enough relief, and so they're going to raise their prices. And here's the thing. Walmart can do that because they're the biggest retailer. But if you're a small business owner, you don't have the ability to negotiate with your suppliers, with your vendors. And so if Walmart is pushing for a deal and they're not getting one, or they're not getting enough of one to shield their customers from prices, what's going to happen to the rest of businesses, right? And so I think what we're going to end up seeing is businesses are going to have to raise prices to avoid going out of business. And even then, it won't be enough for some. And so we're likely in for some tough times, both from a cost of living perspective, where we're going to see prices go up on a whole host of goods, particularly those from China. But we're going to see businesses really getting squeezed.
68 million Americans work in small businesses. 68 million. If Walmart can't use the biggest buying power leverage in the world to get their suppliers to eat the increase in prices because of Donald Trump's tariff terror, the mom and pop down the street ain't going to be able to do it either. Our conversation with Michael Negron continues on the other side. Former special assistant to President Biden for economic policy, currently on the board of directors for the Small Business Majority. My name is Maggie Dawn. Keep it locked, where we make wonk fun here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. New York City Mayor Eric Adams had his bribery and corruption charges dropped by the U.S. Department of Justice under questionable circumstances in April. Because of those charges, the New York City Campaign Finance Board denied Adams matching campaign funds. Adams is now suing to get those funds. Mayor Adams was accused last December by the Biden DOJ with taking campaign donations from foreign nationals and businessmen, allegedly using straw donors to make them appear as legitimate donations. He was also accused of doing favors in exchange for luxury travel and attempting to conceal those transactions. We reported in February that the DOJ dropped bribery and corruption charges against Adams after Adams visited Trump at Mar-a-Lago. An apparent Trump directive to drop the charges to the DOJ's Southern District of New York resulted in the resignations of 7 experienced prosecutors. As a result of the corruption charges and paperwork omissions, the New York Campaign Finance Board denied Adams $4 million in matching funds for his campaign from the state's taxpayer-funded campaign finance option. Now that the charges have been dropped, Politico reports that Adams is now suing the board to recover $3.4 million of those denied funds. The Campaign Finance Board will reportedly revisit Adams' eligibility for funding in July. Find our past reports on Adams at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network, joined this half hour by Michael Negron, Senior Fellow at the Center for American that's not your correct title anymore. I'm reading off the screen. You are...
No, I'm there.
Oh, you are?
I'm still there.
You're at the Center for American... Okay, good. Well, I'm glad I didn't misspeak, and thank you for correcting me. In addition to being at the Center for American Progress, he's also on the board of directors for the Small Business Majority. He's served on the White House's National Economic Council. He knows tons about small businesses, including these facts that Michael has shared with me, not just 68 million Americans. Let's talk about Wisconsinites. In Wisconsin, we have just under 500,000 small businesses that employ close to 1.3 million people in the state. These are 97% of all businesses in Wisconsin, and they employ about half of our workforce. So it is a big, big deal. Now, Michael, there's a big, brutal bill that the House has adopted promising one of the single largest transfers of wealth yet again from working people to the top 1%. And they're doing some things with the ACA. It caught my eye, and I know yours, because so many small business owners rely on the ACA to access healthcare coverage. Tell us more.
That's right. Well, the Affordable Care Act and particularly the exchanges, that's where you can go and shop for coverage. And with the American Rescue Plan, the federal government established a tax credit that made it more affordable to get plans on those exchanges. And we have about 4.2 million small business owners and self-employed individuals who get their healthcare from the exchanges. And so the failure to renew and extend those tax credits, which the big, beautiful bill would not do, means that these business owners are going to end up paying more for their health insurance, or they may not be able to pay for them at all. And so that is a significant impact just on the owners themselves, let alone their employees, because many of their employees are also, particularly if you're a small business who can't afford to have a group plan, your employees are relying on the Affordable Care Act most likely for their insurance. And so you're looking at an impact not only to the business owners, but to the employees as well. And that's not even to mention in the same kind of realm, cuts to SNAP and to Medicaid, which will affect the consumers for these businesses. And so if consumers have less spending money or are more uncertain about their own livelihood, they're less likely to spend money at your store. And so that you're looking at an impact there just to people's bottom lines and to their livelihoods.
I want to give a little emphasis there because, Michael, one of my great sort of macro fears is that we are fast approaching a point where the economic engine of U.S. GDP, which has largely for the last 40, 50 years been on an upward trajectory, again, the majority of the wealth that growth has created has not inured to the benefit of the middle class. But the very engine is not just the small business, but it is consumer demand, right? That 70% plus of the U.S. economy is driven by consumer purchasing. What I keep telling people is billionaires stop purchasing stuff because of this weird thing called the law of diminishing marginal returns. Your 100th Rolls Royce ain't as punchy as the first one. They keep their wealth. It is the middle class person that spends the vast majority of the dollars spent in this country on consumer goods. That pinch is very real. People will feel real economic pain. They will buy less. They will buy less from small businesses. Small businesses will have less health insurance because they will not be able to afford it because of the expiration of this tax credit. Tell me something good, Michael. What can people do to staunch the bleed, as it were?
Well, I think talking about the impacts and having business owners out there talking about how, whether it's tariffs, whether it's potential cuts to healthcare, how it's going to hurt their bottom line, how it's going to hurt their consumers or their employees. I do think that will have a real impact. The fact that the Trump taco that the the taco play exists is in fact because every time he does something, he gets really bad feedback from business owners from the industry, from various business industries, and he retreats in the face of it. Now, the one bad outcome of that is that he's so wishy-washy, right? And you have all that uncertainty. But the fact is that they have shown to be responsive when they see they're going to hurt business owners, particularly those who are part of their what they perceive to be their voting base, right? In the yes. in red states or you know, Trump administration in particular thinks that they're doing solid for small business with their policies. And so just lifting up those voices in every state, having stories shared that show that impact. You know, I did a hearing a couple of weeks ago in the House, and there were a few small businesses who were participating in the hearing, and just hearing them talk about the impact of tariffs on their bottom line and how it meant they were going to have to reduce the number of product lines, how they were having trouble remaining profitable. You know, that it's really powerful, compelling testimony. And we know that's all over the country. And so we just need more and more of that to be out there and elevated, because that seems to have some impact both on the administration and on the Congress to push back marginally on these policies. And it's got to be a game of inches, right? You push a little bit, they retreat a little bit, push a little bit more, they retreat yes. a little bit more. And hopefully we can get them to ultimately back off some of these really short-sighted policies that are going to hurt so many small business owners.
Got to keep the pressure up. Very briefly, we got about 30 seconds, Michael. Republicans have what I would call an expansive definition of small businesses when they talk about helping out small businesses. Is that a fair assessment?
I think that when we think about small businesses, we really think about mom and pop shops. And yeah. so you could have a definition where you have a $5 million, $10 million business as a small business. But really, we have to be worried about the millions of mom and pops that have a handful of employees or no employees at all, who are on a knife's edge and who go under any minute with these policies.
Michael, my pleasure. Look forward to having you back sometime soon, because this is where it's at. Michael Negron, Senior Fellow with the Center for American Progress Action Fund, and on the board of directors of the Small Business Majority. When we come back, folks, it'll be time for Midweek Sound Off. What's on your mind? 855-75-CIVIC.
The Maggie Dawn Show is part of the Civic Media Radio Network and airs across the network weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. To learn more about this show and all of the Civic Media programming, check out the website at civicmedia.us/shows. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Wayne Cabot. Someone apparently threw Molotov cocktails at a pro-Israel demonstration on busy Pearl Street in Boulder, Colorado.
When we arrived, we encountered multiple victims that were injured with injuries consistent with burns and other injuries.
The Boulder police chief says there's a suspect in custody. 31 people were shot dead today lining up for food in Gaza, according to multiple officials. People on the ground say troops fired at starving crowds outside of a food distribution site being run by an Israel and U.S.-backed organization. Israel's military denies firing at civilians. Ukrainian intelligence says its drones hit 4 Russian airfields and took out as many as 40 military aircraft. But Russian attacks on Ukraine today may be the most intense yet. The National Weather Service says expect smoke from Canada's wildfires to come through the U.S. over the next week in various rounds. This is ABC News.